We're back here talking football with Jeff Hathorn, sports director. This has been one of the more active off seasons we have seen, Jeff. Many surprising moves, moves that cost a lot of money, moves that are designed to make them try to win this year, and I give them credit for that.
Yeah, it was. I watched Judy Bautista, who you know very well, who is very tight with the late ambassador, and to watch her face as she's like, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers and they're making the most blockbuster moves. It's been such a different, and I think there's a narrative that I don't think is fair of the Steelers of like over the last 50 years that they've been passive in free agency. I don't think it's that. I think they've just had a philosophy of this is how they build, not that they've just been passive for all of these years. It's just this year they decided, man, we're gonna change the way we do it, and they've really have changed their roster.
Well, a lot of this has to do with the fact that they still haven't figured out a quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger left, and every year it changes. And when you get so much activity at the quarterback position, it takes on a whole different level of conversation because of six and six in 2 years.
Yeah, I mean they've drafted one in the first round. They took a flyer on a 26-year-old, 25 at the time, and Justin Fields, and that didn't work out the way they wanted to. And then now they've got a temp at quarterback as they look to get a new steady quarterback, if you will, in 2026.
And that'll be all the focus next year, especially when the NFL draft comes to Pittsburgh, which should be high drama for sure.
And Bob, it's kind of crazy when you think about it. In January, the Steelers had one quarterback under contract. Skylar Thompson.
It
was the only one under contract for the entire year. And we went, you go with, well, would they bring Russ? Are they going to go in the draft? I mean, all of that offseason talk. And then finally, Justin Fields signs with the Jets and like, okay, that's off the board. Then there's, is it Aaron Rodgers? Could Russell Wilson come back? And it ends up being Russell signs with the Giants. You still don't know going into the draft. You wait till the sixth round. I mean, it's been a fascinating offseason. And then to trade a guy like Minka. I mean, right. Minka behind Cam Hayward and TJ, like he, if you want to say that they were a trio, like he was a big part of that trio.
Sure.
And to trade him has been.
And not just him, but
what an
offseason. George Pickens gone. They took a chance. They knew his talent, and his talent was obvious, but all the other stuff came back into play that they were warned about by college analysts who found there were red flags in his game. And then to make a massive deal for DK Metcalf, that's pretty interesting, which leads us to this season. I think it's going to be fascinating right off the bat. Steelers-Jets, of all things, right off, that should have been a night game, and I think they made this designation before Rodgers was actually signed here, I think. I'm not sure how that worked.
They did. And because everybody was speculating, oh, they've got the Jets because the NFL knows that Aaron Rodgers is going to sign here.
Right, so that's going to be a tough game. I don't think there's any question about it. I think the Jets roster is a pretty good roster, actually. And I don't know what Fields will do. I think they like him, and we'll see what happens.
Know this. Justin behaved as the perfect teammate, but he wasn't happy with how it all went down here.
No, that's why he took the contract with New York.
So they can say that I'm not circling a game. I mean, it's the first game. This is going to be a big deal for Justin Fields.
And he has the things that Mike Tomlin has always coveted, you know, with the athletic ability to be mobile everywhere. He's probably the best in the game at doing it.
And he was 4-2, and they kind of lowballed him on a contract offer. And
right.
I mean, when you get spurned by an employer that you feel like you've done well with and you got along, you know, with the room, this is going to be a big deal for Justin Fields.
But on the other side of it, it'll be a big deal for Aaron Rodgers too,
obviously,
because he leaves that team that he went to thinking that they could, you know, get over the hump and get into a playoff situation. Never happened. That's going to be a tough game. I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets win it. After that, it's the Steelers' home opener against Seattle, a whole different kind of team out there in Seattle.
The Metcalf Bowl.
Exactly. They're going to have these ties and these storylines throughout. But, all, you know, they've changed quarterbacks. They've gone now. And, you know, Dalton, I don't know if he is the answer there. They gave him a lot of money based on what he did in Minnesota. But when the games really mattered, he didn't do as well as he had done.
Yeah, Sam Darnold I've never really believed in him, but he had a monster season in Minnesota. But much like people are questioning Jalen Hurts, did he have a monster season in Minnesota because their offensive line, especially their tackles, are elite? They've got a couple of elite wide receivers. And their offensive plan is top notch. I mean, is that why it was good, or was Sam the big reason why it all came together? And that's what Seattle's banking on.
And they gave him $100 million plus. That's a pretty big banking on. After that, the Steelers will go to New England. This could be a tricky game because I think New England is one of the teams that could sneak up on you. We'll see how the quarterback play goes, but I think he'll be Drake May will take them better than where they were last year offensively. And I think defensively they have some good. You've got a new coach too, and Mike Vrabel. So how do you see that one?
Well, it's hard to find a most improved list speculating for 2025 without Drake May's name on it. I mean, there are high expectations for May to take a big step this year. They've added more talent around him. And they had a lot of youth last year. Now with Vrabel in there, they feel like they've got something going on this year. And they could be, and that's another, if you look at different polls of like teams that could make a big step this year, New England's on all those lists as well.
No question. After that, it's the game in Dublin at Croke Park. It'll be the Vikings and the Steelers. And the Vikings are a tough team to figure. You know what they have, and they have really good talent. But they've entrusted J.J. McCarthy to be the guy.
He's got the swagger of a starting quarterback. Absolutely. He won some big games in college. He's never done it at all in the pros. I mean, I still believe they have a good team. They obviously have a couple of – they still have their receivers. They still got a good offensive line, same coaching staff. So, I mean, you think it would be a plug-in situation, but you just don't know until he does it. I mean, listen, there have been other quarterbacks that had big college careers, and you put them into an NFL system, it just doesn't work.
Even though he didn't want to miss the season with the injury, I think that sitting back probably helped him a little bit, and he learned a lot, just as you talked about Will Howard.
Yeah.
Benefiting by that sort of thing. Then it's the Browns and the Steelers. I'm going to go to the next three games just real quick. You got the Browns and the Steelers, then the Steelers and the Bengals, which at this point we don't know what they're going to be looking like other than similar to last year, and then the Packers and the Steelers.
So Cleveland at home, you'd like to think, okay, now Cleveland will have had 5 weeks to figure out its quarterback situation. Will they have a starter, or is this the time where they're going to start monkeying with other guys because they don't know if the guy that started the season was the right? Let's say Kenny starts the season. And the Browns are 1-3 or 2-3 at this point because they don't have the early bye. Is now Shador going to come in and make his debut? And I mean, there's a lot of scenarios that could happen with Cleveland because they're just so up in the air. At Cincinnati for prime time on that Thursday night, short week after Cleveland, I mean, that's going to be.
Steelers don't do well on Thursday night.
That's
generally
a tough matchup to have to travel there after playing a division game. And say what you want about Cleveland, their defense is physical. It will be that's going to be a challenge because Cincinnati's got Joe Burrow, so they're always in games. And remember this with Cincinnati. They lost 7 one-score games last year. Seven.
If that
would have happened here, we'd be, Steelers just need to turn that around. Right. Well, if Cincinnati does get their defensive player signed, then maybe they're going to be a challenge. And Green Bay, Jordan Love. Obviously, for Packer fans, anytime you see Aaron Rodgers, there's going to be some things there. I think the rosters have changed enough that there's not a lot of Packers that played with Aaron. But for Aaron, this will be a special
game. He has it circled, I'm sure, already. After that, Colts come to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh doesn't do well in Indianapolis. I suspect they'll win that game. Then they have to go to another night game, Steelers-Chargers, which is never easy on them. And then they come home right after that. The Bengals are back in town. And then a trip to the Bears before we get to the final games I want to talk to you about. But those are not easy. None of these games will be easy.
I mean, Chargers are expected to be good with Harbaugh. They're another rising team, and they're going to pound you. And that's the Harbaugh mentality. But they've got a quarterback that can also throw for 300 on you pretty easy in Herbert. Colts, I don't know what their quarterback situation is going to be. And then you get Cincinnati again. And at Chicago, is Caleb Williams the real deal? There is some talent there in Chicago. Do they get it going? Is that game in the middle of November when you're playing all those in a row with Buffalo the next week? I mean, that could be a real challenge.
So we talked last year about the Christmas situation where they had these three games against really good teams, and it turned out to be their downfall here. But this is the way this season ends now, Jeff, and I find it interesting because you can make a case that it's very hard if similar to last year. They have the Bills coming to Pittsburgh on November 30th. So you have the Bills. Right after that, the next week, you got to go to Baltimore and play there. That's also a 1 o'clock game, not a night game. Then the Dolphins come here. The Steelers have to go to Ford Field to take on the Lions. Then they have to go to Cleveland, which has never been good, before the Ravens end the season here. So you have the Ravens twice. You have the Bills. You have the Lions, a team that many people think are going to win a Super Bowl this year, and thrown in there also the Dolphins and the Browns.
And not to mention that three of those five are on the road, and the ones on the road, two of them are at division rivals, and then one's at Detroit.
Right.
I mean, that is a – and you will have the longest stretch of any team as far as time away from your bye week and playing into that stretch.
And for a team that's second oldest in the NFL, that bye week comes at a bad time, actually, right?
I mean, I and I love the fact that Baltimore is the last game. I mean, I think that sets up like, you know, like Pitt Penn State should be.
Yeah.
That's your rival.
I love it. And hopefully it'll have as much meaning as, it, you know, as you would expect in the AFC, because I think the Ravens are going to be a team. If the Steelers can somehow, you know, move ahead of the Bengals, which I think they can. They did that already. Didn't they do that last year? Or when was it they finished ahead of them? It wasn't last year. Was it last year?
Last year.
So they can do that, to, you know, depending on what the Bengals do.
And they've had success
this
against Baltimore, even though you could argue that Baltimore's had a better roster over the last few years.
Yeah. So it's going to be fascinating how it ends up. So look forward. It all starts tomorrow. You're going to be out there with your bucket hat. I've talked you into it. I know it. You're going to wear a bucket hat.
Are you coming out?
Not tomorrow. We have some unfinished things to do with Elite 18. And also, Rich Walsh will be out there. Cassidy Wood will be out there tomorrow. It's a reporting day before they actually – I'm always interested in the run test. I still have visions of Jermaine Stephens throwing up.
Well, we can't watch it anymore.
I know.
Back in the day, we could watch it.
There are a lot of things we can't watch anymore.
I know one thing that will not happen. Aaron Rodgers will not push a sled. It's one thing I
know.
No
blocking sleds this year, no?
That will not happen
no.
this year.
If it happens, whoever's –
But you know what's cool about this? We've talked all these scenarios. Some of them have come true. So many of them haven't. Now all of that talk finally gets onto a field where not only can we see it, but like for people like us, we can report it because it's not secret in the South Side. Like everybody sees it. So we'll all be able to see what exactly they look like. And we'll be able to tell everybody that's not there.
But also keep this in mind, for every good pass completion that DK Metcalf makes, it's probably Jalen Ramsey on the other end of it who allowed it to happen. Those two guys have had battles when they were with the Rams in Seattle. Physical, crazy battles. And I'll be interested to see if they're paired up.
Well, given that Joey used to work a lot against George Pickens, I'm guessing that Joey's going to tell DK that I want you.
Yeah, I want you. That'll be fascinating to watch. Jeff, as always, look forward to your coverage out there. Thanks. I want to remind you also that we continue our countdown to the NFL draft in Pittsburgh on KDK-TV every Wednesday at 5:55. We've counted down that we did 52 weeks out. We did one a week, and we're counting it down until we get to the number one best draft pick out of Western Pennsylvania. And there are a lot of people in contention. You'll find out who's next tomorrow at 5:55.
Who is your last one? Because I've seen a couple of them. I'm thinking, wow, that's that far out. When you forget about some of the talent, not forget, but...
Well, I mean, we've had, you know, guys like Rob Gronkowski in there, and they're, you know, have nice careers. Charlie Batch, another one. As we get down to the final 10, though, it's really difficult. And we had a kind of a meeting about which of these, you know, what order do we do? So you'll be intrigued to find that out. But that's all the way until April. We do it every Wednesday. Jeff, thanks very much. Always appreciate your coverage.
Thanks, Bob.
We'll see you. I want to remind you, too, about the 15-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19. Peter's Township, and What's Cooking is brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Yes, indeed. Today, sunny. High of Heath Miller, 83. 89 tomorrow, 91 on Thursday. Heat index rises to almost 100. Be careful going out to St. Vincent College. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Up next, it's the PM team. Austin will take over tomorrow here, and we'll see you again tomorrow, 10 a.m., for another edition of Pomp and Joe with Austin Bechtel on the hot seat. And you guys have a wonderful rest of the day.